ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम तत्सत The mantra which we usually chant to conclude the program. Now we have to begin with the, our class with the same Shanti Pataha. Because the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad which we have decided to study belongs to Shukla Yajurvedaha. And Purnamadaha Purnamida mantra happens to be the Shanti Pata of Shukla Yajurveda. We begin our class also with the same Shanti Pataha. That is, remember, because we are starting after a long break and hopefully, prayerfully, we will continue with this, the study of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. As I mentioned before, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, even Pujya Swamiji did not teach the whole Upanishad because it consists of many, many, many upasanas. He only taught very selected portions. But still, I thought, I'm also not going to make you read all the chapters. But I thought I will at least let you know briefly the contents of each chapter before we go to the actual, the portion which we are going to study in detail. The Vedantic portion where Brahma Vidya is discussed, the Lord Swamiji used to, Swamiji himself taught because he thought it was not relevant for, relevant in the sense it is not necessary for us to understand everything. But still, to have a complete idea of what is there in the entire Upanishad, I thought I'll brief you in English instead of making you read the mantras of the first portions. So until now we have covered a few topics, the general topics. We saw the meaning of the word Upanishad. Then we understood the meaning of the Shanti Mantraha. Then I said the specific methodology known as Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. These are the three topics and also I said Sambandaha. We asked the fourth topic we discussed until now is the Sambandaha. That is Sambandaha, the Sambandha Bhasham discusses the connection between Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda of the Veda. Or you can say Purva Uttara Bhagayoho Sambandaha. Veda Purva Vedottara Bhagayoho Sambandaha. The relationship or connection between the first part of the Veda and the later part of the Veda. What is the connection? That was also discussed. So this and the discussion presenting the connection between the first part and the second part is said to be Sambandha Bhashyam, which we have seen. Then first, I introduced the Upanishad. Then we saw the meaning of the Upanishad, the meaning of the Shanti Pataha, then Sambandha Bhashyam, briefly I mentioned. Then I also mentioned the Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. Prakriya is a, because the entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad consisting of three khandas. I'm sure you remember all the three names. Three khandas. Madhu khandaha, otherwise said to be Upadesha khandaha. Then Rishi khandaha, otherwise known as Yajnavalkya khandaha. And the third one, Rishikandaha, Munik Khilakandaha. Third part is Khilakandaha. I'm sure you remember all the three names. And each Khandaha, see, Khandaha means a part also. Khandaha. The Khanda is the first ka. Khandaha also means a portion, a piece. There is a Khandaha. First ka, not ka. It is not Khandaha, it's a Khandaha. Study Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, even we must be very clear about this name, the portions. Khandaha section. Khandaha also means a portion. So there are three khandas. Muni Khandaha. Sorry, first is Madhu Khandaha, always called Upadesha Khandaha. Second Khandaha is Rishi Khandaha or Yajnavalkya Khandaha. Third Khandaha is Khila Khandaha. And each Khandaha consists of two chapters. They were totally, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad only consists of six chapters. The six chapters. Now let us not worry about the last of the six chapters. Let us think of the first Khanda now. What are the contents of the first Khandaha? That only I want to discuss today very briefly. Not everything, some of it today. So the first Khandaha of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is known as Madhu Khandaha. And in this Madhu Khandaha, there are two chapters. The first chapter consists of six Brahmanani. There are six, each portion, each the six parts. Each part is known as Brahmanam. Now we will not even think of the second chapter. So we are going to first think of only the first Khandaha. The first Khanda has two chapters. And the first chapter consists of six Brahmanani. So the whole Madhu Khandaha consisting of these two chapters, Prathama Dvitiya Adhyayas, two chapters. The first chapter presents the Adhyaropa. First chapter discusses the Adhyaropa Prakriya. Not the Prakriya. Adhyaropa Prakriya is used in the first chapter. The second chapter, Apavada Prakriya is presented. Not Prakriya, Apavadaha is presented. First chapter discusses the Adhyaropaha. Second chapter discusses the Apavadaha. Therefore, the entire Madhu Khandaha presents Adhyaropaha and Apavadaha. One whole chapter consisting of six Brahmanas. So the whole chapter, the first chapter, consisting of six Brahmanas, discuss the Adhyaropa, present the Adhyaropaha. Second chapter presents the Apavadaha. And what is this Adhyaropaha, Apavadaha? I think in last class I discussed it. We all know very well, being exposed to the teaching for so long, Adhyaropa Apavadaha. Adhyaropa Apavadaha is a prakriya, is a method of revealing Brahman. And Upanishad uses that method. And we know very well, Adhyaropaha means superimposition. Apavadaha means negation. This also I mentioned before. The four steps are involved here. The first step, Adhyaropaha, first of all, the creation is accepted as real. accepting the universe as a real creation is the step one. When the universe is accepted as the real creation, universe is given the status of being an effect. The universe being given the status of being an effect is called Adhyaropaha, step number one. When the universe is given the status of being an effect, is Adhyaropaha number one, step one. Then we look at the reality implied by the term Brahman. The Brahman is presented as the cause of the universe. So Brahman, the causal status attributed to Brahman is the Adhyaropaha number two, step number two. Effect status is given to the universe. Causal status is attributed to Brahman. This attribution of effect status to the universe, attribution of causal status to Brahman, is said to be Adhyaropaha, step one and step two. Thereafter, we say the entire universe is nothing but Brahman. Seeing the whole universe as Brahman. When the effect is seen as the cause, the universe is seen as Brahman. Then what do? The effect status attributed to the universe is negated. There's a negation of the effect status attributed to the universe. That is said to be Apavadaha number one. The effect status attributed to the universe is negated. That is Apavada number one. Once you negate the effect status attributed to the universe, then we also negate the causal status attributed to Brahman. That is negation, step number two. So we have the four steps. First, you attribute the statuses to the effect, universe and Brahman. First, you attribute the effect status to the universe. Attributing effect status to the universe is said to be Adhyaropaha, step one. Superimposition. Then attributing causal status to Brahman is step two, which is Adhyaropa, step two. Then afterwards, on analysis, we find out that there is no Jagat, there is only Brahman. This discovering there is no universe, universe is only appearance of Brahman. The Brahman alone is in the form of the universe. There is no such a thing called universe. There is no substance called universe other than Brahman. Understanding the fact that there is no substance called universe other than Brahman. Universe is only mithya, form, name and function. Non-substantial form, name and function alone is universe. Actual substance is only Brahma. Therefore, Brahman alone is in the form of the universe. On analysis, arriving at the fact that what is there is only Brahman, there is no universe. Means we negate the universe. When the universe is negated as mithya, the effect status attributed to the universe becomes negated. This negation of the effect status attributed to the universe is said to be Apavadaha, step one. Negation. Apavadaha means negation. when the effect state is attributed to the universe is negated, then naturally the causal state is attributed to Brahman also becomes negated. Because there's no effect. Therefore, you cannot call Brahman cause. The causal status also is negated. So negation of causal status attributed to Brahman. When causal status is negated, effect status is negated, universe is negated as mithya, what is non-negatable? Abadhitam. What is not negated? Abadhitam is satyam, the truth, the reality. And what is that abadhitam satyam? Brahma. And what is that Brahma? In this Upanishad, finally, we'll say that Brahma ahamasmi. I, the self, am that Brahman. So the truth of the universe, we have to arrive at it as our own Swarupam. That's the main teaching. So the first six Brahmanas, which form the first chapter, discuss only Adhyaropa. And to present the Adhyaropa, directly if universe is not discussed, Upasanas are discussed there. Upasanani, Upasanam, meditations are presented. First three chapters of the first Khandaha. There are only two chapters. First three Brahmanas. Please make a note. The first three Brahmanani of the first chapter. Let me tell you again. Now let us think of only first chapter. The first chapter has six Brahmanas. And the first three Brahmanas discuss three different Upasanani. What is the first? First Upasanam. We have first Ashva Upasanam. Then we have second is Agni Upasanam. We have three Upasanani. Discussed in the three different Brahmanani. Before I enter into the actual content, let me tell you. The Upasanam can be practiced independently as Swatantra Upasanam, or Upasanam can be practiced along with the performance of a ritual. The Upasanam practiced along with the performance of a ritual is said to be Karmanga Upasanam. Swatantra Upasanam and Karmanga Upasanam. Let us remember the first Brahmanam, second Brahmanam and third Brahmanam. We have in all these Brahmanas, Upasanas are prescribed. Meditations are prescribed. We are not going to practice those Upasanas. We are not even going to read them. Let me tell you what is there, the contents alone. So in the first Brahmanam, there is Upasanam prescribed. And that Upasanam can be independently practiced Upasanam, known as Swatantra Upasanam, or it can be an Upasanam practiced as a part of the ritual. When it is practiced as a part of the ritual, it is called Karmanga Upasanam. Swatantra Upasanam, independently practiced Upasanam, and Upasanam practice as a part of the ritual is called Karmanga Upasanam. So here, Karmanga Upasanam, the first chapter what this discusses, the Upasanam to be practiced along with the performance of a ritual called Ashwamedha Yagaha. There are many, as I said many times before also, Agnihotram is the smallest, Ashwamedha is the biggest. We also have a big ritual called Vishwajit Yagaha. Okay, so many rituals are there. People perform those rituals, thereby they earn abundance of power. And once they earn the power, and they will have more, they can play with the elements, they can play with, they'll have a lot of power. So many rituals are there. So this Ashwamedha Yagaha is performed. And the Ashwamedha Yagaha also includes the Ashwa Upasanam, meditation upon the hearts. So hearts becomes the alambanam. Ashvaha, a hearts becomes the alambanam, a symbol. And there, the Virat Purusha is to be meditated upon. The Viradishwaraha, Ashvaha, hearts becomes an alambanam for Viradishwaraha, Bhagavan, the Lord. Of course, as students of Vedanta, we must be very clear, meditation is always upon Bhagavan only. Ishvara is the object of our meditation. Saguna Brahma Upasanam means definitely Ishvara is the object of meditation. Let us remember also the definition of meditation. If you don't remember, go to the glossary and check. You will find the answers. Saguna Brahma Upasanam means what? Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. So, the Saguna Upasanam is a meditation for which the object is Sagunam Brahma, Ishvara. Sagunam Brahma means Ishvara. So, Nirguna Brahma Upasanam means meditation upon the very nature of the reality. That is Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. So Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is contemplation, which is actually inquiry into the very nature of the reality. How reality is timeless, reality is spatially limitless, how reality is indestructible, how reality is not subject to change. Like that, understanding the nature of reality, analyzing the nature of reality is Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. That is for assimilation of the reality. That is what we must be doing. So we will do that later on. But Saguna Brahma Upasanam is meditation upon Ishvara. Sagunam Brahma. And what is Ishvara? Ishvara can be Virad Ishvaraha or Hiranyagarbha Ishvaraha. Virad Upasanam is also Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is also Sagunam Brahma Upasanam. So here, Ashvaha becomes an alambanam for Virat. We don't see Ashva as an Ashva. We just meditate upon hearts. Okay, I know hearts. Let me see the hearts. That is why, which is very important, I wanted to teach this. What is there in the Upanishad? I wanted to make it very clear. People think meditation means meditating upon something else. We are not going to see how the sound comes, see that, how that comes, this comes. No, we are not interested in that. We have to invoke Bhagavan in any object. Whether you are using apple, or whether you are using orange, whether you are using something else, okay, whatever is the alambana. Whether you are going to the temple also, we have murtis there. That is why we see the murti as Sakshat Bhagavan. For us, murti is Bhagavan. Otherwise, we can't relate to anything else. As if Bhagavan is not the object of meditation, there's no meditation. Saguna Brahma Vishya Manasa Vyaparaha. Therefore, in this, when the Ashwamedha Yaga is performed, there is also Ashwa Upasanam. So Ashwa Upasanam, the meditation, it's a Virad Upasanam. When the Virad Ishvara is meditated upon the hearts, hearts becomes the Alambanam, a symbol for meditation. And that Upasanam is an Angi, Angaha. Angam means a part. Angi becomes the ritual. Ashwamedha Yaga becomes the Angi. Angi means the main, that whole ritual. What is main thing? The performance of the ritual is the main thing. As part of the performance of the ritual, one has to practice meditation upon this hearts also. One has to do the meditation. One has to invoke Virat upon the hearts. Ashva Upasanam. So Ashva Upasanam, meditation upon the heart, is prescribed as part of the performance of the ritual Ashwamedha Yaga. So the first chapter presents the meditation, how we can invoke Virat upon the hearts. We'll see that later on. But here again, there's an instruction. This Ashwamedha Yagaha, who can perform? Who is eligible to perform the Ashwamedha Yagaha? Anybody cannot decide to perform a ritual. Ashwamedha Yagaha is specifically prescribed for a Kshatriya. Only a king or a Kshatriya is eligible, qualified to perform Ashwamedha Yagaha. Others, Brahmanas and others, are not supposed to perform the Ashwamedha Yagaha. First, one thing, it involves a lot of money, big expenditure. Second thing, even if a person is very rich, a Vaishya cannot perform Ashwamedha Yaga. It's only prescribed for a Kshatriya. So what about other people, Kshatriyas, Brahmanas, Vaishyas and Brahmanas? Suppose if a Brahmana wants to have the benefit, wants to enjoy the benefit of this Ashwamedha Yaga, what should he do? It is said a Brahmana can merely practice the Ashva Upasanam to enjoy the benefit of the whole, to enjoy the benefit of Karmanga Upasanam by performing the Ashwamedha Yaga and by practicing Ashva Upasanam. Whatever benefit a Kshatriya can enjoy, that benefit a Brahmana or a Vaishya can enjoy only by practicing Ashva Upasanam. Ashva Upasanam is enough for him. He does not need to perform the Ashwamedha Yaga. The Yaga is prescribed only for a Kshatriya. These are a lot of extra information we need to have, know before we come to the subject matter. Therefore, the first chapter, where this Karmanga Upasanam, means a meditation practiced along with the practice of the ritual, known as Karmanga Upasanam, is prescribed. And we should remember here, this Karmanga Upasanam is only for a Kshatriya. For a Brahmana and a non-Kshatriya, he can only practice Ashva Upasanam, still he can enjoy the benefit of the Karmanga Upasanam. If it is said to be a Karmanga Upasanam, then karma becomes the main part, Angi. Karma becomes Angi, the main ritual becomes the main part. Then meditation becomes the Angam, a part. Angam means limb. Angi, that which has the limb. Angi is that which has the limb. Angam is a limb. So if Ashwamedha Yaga is Angi, Ashva Upasanam becomes Angam for a Kshatriya. For a non-Kshatriya, he need not perform the ritual. He can practice only Ashva Upasanam, which is said to be Swatantra Upasanam, not Karmanga Upasanam. For a Kshatriya, Karmanga Upasanam is prescribed. For a non-Kshatriya, Swatantra Upasanam. Swatantra Upasanam means independent Upasanam is prescribed. Without performing a ritual, mere meditation alone can be practiced by a non-Kshatriya. So, Ashva Upasanam alone he can practice. That is why the first Brahmanam is known as Ashwamedha Brahmanam. Ashwamedha Brahmanam. Because now we know what is Karmanga Upasanam, what is Swatantra Upasanam. So here, Ashvaha means hearts, you know that. Ashvaha is only an alambanam. So the whole Jagat, not even Jagat, the entire universe should be invoked upon the hearts. When the Ashvaha becomes an alambanam, each and every part of the hearts should be seen as a given part of the universe. Which means the Jagat becomes equated to, the universe becomes equated to the hearts. Okay, now Medha. The word Medha, you know the meaning of the word Medha as power of intellection. Good power of intellection is Medha. But here, Ashwamedha means the medium. This is from the word medium. Medha, medium means sacred, holy. That's the meaning. The hearts is a holy hearts here. Ashvaha medhyaha ashvaha. A sacred hearts. Why the sacred hearts? Because the people before, when the hearts is brought for the Ashwamedha Yaga, and the priest have to recite lot of mantras, chant the mantras, and by chanting many mantras, they have to sanctify the hearts. Even before offering the food to Bhagavan, we chant a Gayatri mantra and sprinkle the water upon the food, so to sanctify the food. See, when anything which is offered to Bhagavan, that needs to be sanctified. So you sprinkle water upon the food, then you sanctify the food, you offer it. But before sprinkling the water upon the food, you have to sanctify the water itself. Water has to be sanctified, and for which you have to chant a mantra and sprinkle the sanctified water upon the food. Then food becomes sanctified. Then you offer it. To sanctify, one sanctifies the other. That is why in generally, literally, even in a tiny puja which we do also, we chant a Gayatri mantra, take a water, sanctify the water by chanting Gayatri mantra. Even the temples, also the people have their own mantras, specifically Gayatri mantra. Gayatri mantra is chanted, we have to take the water in a spoon, chant the Gayatri mantra, sanctify the water. Then sanctified water must be sprinkled upon the food. Then you offer the food, chanting mantras again, Om Pranaya Swaha, Apanaya Swaha, etc. In the same way, even these hearts also, in Ashwamedha Yaga, hearts has to be offered. Therefore, the hearts is become sanctified. They sanctify the hearts by chanting so many mantras. When the hearts comes, Sakshat Bhagavan, and the hearts is brought to the place, this Yajnashala, it is brought with the great respect, reverence. The people chant lots of relevant mantras and hearts become sanctified. Such a hearts is called sacred, holy, sanctified hearts is called Medhyaha. Medhyaha Ashwaha. And these hearts, that's why we say only for a Kshatriya, he has to combine this meditation upon the hearts with as a part, as an angam, as a limb of the main ritual Ashwamedha Yaga. For others, only Ashwa Upasanam alone is enough. So each part of the hearts has to be seen as something in the universe. This is called Ashwa Upasanam. Ashwa Upasanam means Ashwa Alambana Virad Upasanam. Ashwa Alambana Virad Upasanam is said to be Ashwa Upasanam. And you first you see the hearts. What is the first part you see? Is head. And Upanishad says one should invoke the dawn, Ushat Kalaha. Ushat Kalaha means early in the morning, early morning. Ushat Kalaha is said to be dawn. We have to see the head of the hearts as the dawn. When you see the head of the hearts as dawn. This is how Upasanam begins. Then you move your attention from the heart's head to the eyes of the hearts. Then see the eyes of the hearts as the sun. Always sun, moon and fire, the three sources of light are looked upon as Bhagavan's eyes. I told you many times. Remember, always we see the sun, moon and fire. Three sources of fire are looked upon as Bhagavan's eyes. And here in this Upasanam, we look at the eyes of the, we see the eyes of the hearts as the Surya Bhagavan. Every phenomenon should be invoked upon that hearts. Seeing the head as dawn of the day and seeing the eyes as the sun, then always we invoke wind, air element upon the prana. And we see the breath of the prana because the heart is the live, healthy hearts, strong hearts. It is breathing. The prana of the hearts is seen as the wind, the Vayu Bhagavan. Hearts' eyes are looked upon as the Surya Bhagavan. And the prana of the hearts is seen as the Vayu Bhagavan. Wind God. Then we move on to the next is mouth. Mouth of the hearts. You all have to remember how the mouth of the hearts looks. Mouth of the hearts. The mouth, because organ of speech for Devata is Agnihi. Agni Devata is the Devata. Agni is the Devata presiding over the organ of speech for us. Therefore, Agni Bhagavan is invoked upon the mouth of the hearts. Mouth of the hearts symbolizes the Agni Bhagavan. Agnihi. Now you can see, you don't see hearts there. Agni, you see the whole hearts as Virat Purushaha, Bhagavan. And Virat Purushaha is what? Sun, moon, fire, all the devatas we have to see in that hearts. So head as the dawn, then eyes as the sun, prana as the Vayu Bhagavan, then the horse's mouth as the Jatara Agnihi, as the Vaishvanara Agnihi. See, Agni itself, Vaishvanara Agnihi, the digestive fire. The mouth of the hearts should be invoked as Vaishvanara Agnihi. Again is another sacred holy fire. Then the whole body of the hearts. Having done Devi Mahatmyam, now we must be used to this, how to invoke different parts of the roop, different parts. Then now we have this, the whole body of the hearts. Whole body of the hearts is invoked as Samvatsaraha. Samvatsaraha means year. So year again stands for Kala Tattvam, time factor. The year stands for Kala Tattvam, time factor. Therefore, the whole body of the hearts, which is looked upon as the year, where Samvats Bhagavan in the form of time factor, Kala Tattvam, is invoked as the year in the whole body of the hearts. Then, when we go to temples and all, I don't know whether you know this, when we go to temples, if we happen to see the cow or hearts in the temple, we always go to the back and we do namaskaram to the back part of the cow or the hearts. It is very auspicious. We go and do it. Whether we know the meaning or not, we do it. in the temples, when the people, when they come around the cow, when they do go puja, come around the cow, and always they touch the back part and then do namaskaram. Here also, the back of the hearts, the whole body of the heart stands for the Kala Tattvam, time factor, year. The back of the hearts, the back, the tail part, okay, the back, not the tail, the back portion, the back part of the hearts, symbolizes Swargaha, heaven. If you take only the belly part of the hearts, the belly part alone, the womb, the belly part, the stomach part of the hearts, if you take, it symbolizes sky. Akashaha. Then horse is known for its very strong hooves. Star, of course, horse has four legs. Therefore, it has the four hooves. The hooves of the horse symbolize the earth element. Earth. Prithivi Tattvam. Prithivi. And we see the horse's body, it has the two sides. the two sides of the horse. We see the whole body first as the time factor, samvatsaraha. Then you separately, you see the stomach alone as the sky. Then you see both sides of the hearts. As two different directions, east and west. So one side stands for east and west. Other side stands for south and north. So all four directions are invoked upon the two sides of the horse. So inside this stuff, we can see, even though we don't see it outside, we can make out there are ribs. Horse also has ribs, like we all have ribs. The ribs of the horse are invoked as the intermediary quarters, intermediary directions. So the two sides symbolize four directions, east, west, north, and south and north. Then the ribs of the hearts are invoked as the intermediary quarters or directions, northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest. So now, just by seeing the hearts, you don't see the hearts as the hearts. The hearts is Virat Purusha. So all four quarters are Bhagavan. All four intermediary quarters are Bhagavan. The sky is Bhagavan. Sun is Bhagavan. Dawn is Bhagavan. Time factor, constantly flowing time factor is Bhagavan in terms of Samvatsaraha. If so, not only the known world is Bhagavan, the back portion which symbolizes heaven is also what? Heaven also is within Bhagavan. Okay, for us, heaven is not outside of Bhagavan. That's why heaven also is symbolized. Yeah, the back part of the hearts symbolizes heaven. Our heaven also is included in Virat Purusha only. Then, unmentioned parts of the hearts, unmentioned parts, specifically unmentioned parts of the hearts. Symbolize the seasons, arriving, departing seasons. Mainly, we say Grishma Rutuhu, summer, Vasanta Rutuhu, spring, then Varsha Kalaha, monsoon, Shishira Rutuhu, winter. So unmentioned parts of the hearts symbolize the seasons. Now, just as we all have joints, the joints of the bones, the joints, sandhi parts, symbolize the months, masaha, months, and also pakshaha. Masaha pakshaha. Pakshau means Krishna Shukla Pakshau. Months and fortnights. Masaha, months, and Pakshau, dark fortnight, bright fortnight. Bright fortnight, Shukla Paksha. Dark fortnight, Krishna Paksha. bright fortnight Shukla Paksha, dark fortnight Krishna Paksha. So today onwards we are going to have Krishna Paksha. Until yesterday we had Shukla Paksha, isn't it? So two fortnights, two pakshas. So the bones, the joints of the bones, the joints of the bones are symbolized as, they symbolize the months and fortnights. Then horse is very popular because of its powerful legs, the strong legs. Because when the horse move, every time the step keeps on moving. The horse runs means all four legs are always constantly moving. Therefore, the legs of the horse symbolize days and nights, constantly arriving, departing, changing days and nights. Dinani ratre, ratre. Ratriyaha, the days and nights. So four legs symbolize days and nights. Now generally the bones of the hearts, all the bones, hearts' bones supposed to be much stronger. The strong bones of the hearts symbolize the nakshatrani, stars. Then we have seen the sky as a roof, but what about the space as such? So the muscles of the hearts symbolize this space. Even always nerves in the body are likened to the rivers. We say all the rivers which are Bhagavan's in Vishwarupa Darshan, if we see, all the rivers are looked upon as Bhagavan's nerves. So here we see the nerves of the hearts as the rivers. You see, it's exactly like the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Vishwarupa Darshanam. Sorry, 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. 11th chapter of Vishwarupa Darshanam, you can see how all the rivers are looked upon as Bhagavans. In anywhere, whenever you see the whole Jagat as Bhagavan, Vishwarupa Darshanam, it's called Virat Upasanam. Rivers are looked upon as Bhagavan's nerves. So here, the nerves of the hearts are looked upon as the rivers. The whole Jagat is Virat Purushaha Bhagavan. So Bhagavan has to be invoked upon these hearts. So hearts now becomes Bhagavan. So hearts is a symbol Alambanam. So invoke the, you see that nerves are rivers. Nerves symbolize rivers. And heart, this hearts also has muscles hanging, the hanging muscles, which we cannot see. The hanging muscles are projecting muscles by the side of the heart. The heart has projecting hanging muscles, some sort of protruding muscles by the side of the heart. Hridayasya parshvastam. Those muscles symbolize the mountains. So muscles around the heart symbolize the mountains. What about the hair on the body? wherever you find hair on the part of and on the hearts, the hair symbolize the entire vegetation, plants, trees, all forms of vegetation, plants, trees, herbs, shrubs, bush, everything. The hair symbolize the entire green world. As I already said, the head stand symbolizes dawn. Now we have to see the back portion stands for heaven. The front part of the horse's body symbolizes the rising sun, Udaya Suryaha. Udaya Suryaha. Many of you are not from Tamil Nadu, so you may not know that. It is a striking thing for us. Okay. Udaya Surya means Surya, the rising sun. It's a big difference. Huh? Suryodaya is different from Udaya Surya. Then, so this front part of the horse's body symbolizes the rising sun and also foreknown. Purvannaha. Udaya Surya and Purvannaha. Purvannaha means foreknown. Then back of the hearts, I said the back portion stands for heaven. The back of the hearts, which stands for heaven, also symbolizes the Suryastaha. Astamana Suryaha, setting sun. So Udaya Suryaha, Astamana Suryaha, setting sun. The back part, which symbolizes the heaven, also symbolizes the setting sun. Astamana Suryaha. Astamana Suryaha. And also, Aparannaha or Madhyannaha. The back portion, back part of the hearts symbolizes Astamana Suryaha, setting sun, and afternoon, as others called Aparannaha or Madhyannaha, the later part of the day. So Purvannaha, forenoon. Aparannaha or Madhyannaha. Actually, Aparannaha. Purvannaha, forenoon. And afternoon, Aparannaha. Thus, it is Madhyannaha. In Tamil, you use the word Madhyanam. Is it same? And then heart, sometimes it will pull its legs here and there. It will stretch itself. Know that? Have you ever seen heart stretching? Heart has its own way of stretching. The stretching, the way heart, the stretching of the body of the hearts is looked upon as the lightning. We try to bring in all natural phenomena in the hearts itself, lightning. When the heart stretches its body, it will also shake, making some funny sound heart has its own way of making a sound when it shakes its body. Stretching the body symbolizes the lightning, and stretching its body, hearts makes some sort of funny sound, shaking its body, and that sound. So shaking its body, causing a sound, symbolizes thunder. See, horse and cow are very auspicious animals. Maybe those days they knew only these two animals. I don't know. Somehow horse and in all Purusha Sukta everywhere, we always ask for horse and cows. And even cow's urine is highly sacred for us. So when the horse urinates, urination of the horse is symbol, you know, the urination of the heart symbolizes the rains. So horse's urination symbolizes rainwater, rains. Then what happens? Let me tell you. What is special about human beings? What is unique about human beings? What animals cannot do is speech. Isn't it? Animals cannot speak, but we speak. Therefore, Bhagavan, we look at this. Hearts is whatever sounds a heart is capable of making, those sounds made by hearts symbolize the speech. So I'm going to stop the class, but before, let me make it very clear. Now, at least at last we started the class. I'm happy about it. Next class onwards, we'll do it more seriously. This is how the entire horse is looked upon as Virat Purushaha. See, all this, everything you had mentioned here. So the whole objective universe experienced in the waking state is Bhagavan, Virat Purushaha. And that Virat is invoked upon these hearts. Therefore it is Virat Upasanam. Even though Ashva Upasanam is a Virat Upasanam, we invoke the whole Jagat, Bhagavan. When we invoke the Jagat in the hearts, we're invoking Bhagavan in the hearts. So whole hearts becomes a symbol of Bhagavan in the form of the Virat, Vishwam, universe. And Shankara Bhagavad Pada also makes it very clear in his commentary that it is appropriate to compare each part of the hearts. Shankara Bhagavad Pada very clearly states in his commentary that it is appropriate to visualize a different phenomena upon this each part of the hearts. Now what we understood now, what we understood now is the content of the first mantra. Okay, in the first mantra, the opening mantra presents this symbolism. How to see the entire Virat Purusha invoked in Virat Purusha upon the hearts. So here we happen to see the hearts on the road, Virat Purusha must come to your mind. You don't see hearts in London. I'm just saying. The ribs must remind you of, you know, months, the what it symbolizes. Legs must remind you of every part. When you see, it must remind you of what it symbolizes. This is the content of the first mantra. So today we started somehow. We'll continue in the next class. We are not going to practice meditation, just the presentation. I want you to understand this. If you happen to see, we already see the whole Jagat as Bhagavan. There's no problem for us. You take this seeing like that, focusing attention and seeing each part of the heart exactly. Okay, this of the heart, this part of the heart stands for that. See, that is this. So the whole heart is looked upon as Virat Purusha, Bhagavan. Then when you do the aarti also, in for the go puja, when they do the aarti, the priest will go around the heart, the cow. Every part he will go into the aarti. Somebody has to hold the cow and he will do the aarti. Even in go puja. That is why even today, some people do the heart's puja also before they do some important. Nowadays, very difficult to get horses. Therefore, go puja is done. Exactly like that. Cow also. Why we worship cow? Because cow also symbolizes Virat Purusha. Exactly how you see the hearts, you're supposed to see the cow also. The cow stands for the whole Virat Purusha. We say 33 devargal, 33,000 crores of devas, devatas are invoked in the cow. This is the Virat Upasanam. I'll continue the details. I only just presented what heart stands for. Everything I'll continue again in the next class. Okay? Is it all right? Any questions anybody has?
What's the difference between yaga and yajna?
Yajna, yagaha mean the same. Two different words, that's all. But kratuhu is different. See, if the ritual involves animal sacrifice, it is called kratuhu. It doesn't involve animal sacrifice, it is called just the yagaha. A fire ritual involving animal sacrifice and without involving animal sacrifice. But mostly, that is why certain things are prescribed only for Kshatriya. Yajna yagaha mean the same root, yajadhatu, yajate. Yajate means worships. The noun is yajna yagaha.
Thank you.
Any other question?
Swamini.
Yeah.
In the ashram, the yaga, they are going to sacrifice this horse, aren't they?
Yeah.
Why is animal killing done when we have invoked the whole Brahmanas?
No. That is why the ashram, the yaga, there's not killed as such. There's a way they don't really literally kill it. There's offering done. Offering means it is offered there in the puja. In Ramayanam, remember we were doing that, when we were reading Ramayanam, Ashwamedha Yaga, the hearts is brought for offering and all that. Some rituals do involve, but though that's why they are not recommended anymore. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.